I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. When President Trump unveiled his travel ban a couple of weeks ago, seven Muslim-majority nations were specifically named: Syria, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia. But there are several countries not on the list where violence against Americans and the West has occurred. And most of those convicted of crimes of terrorism on American soil are from countries also not on the list, including Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. Shibli Talhami is the Anwar Sadat Professor of Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. I asked him about the logic behind Trump's travel ban list.
The explanation that we hear is that those are countries that had been identified already by the Obama administration. And so they were basically just applying more stringent guidelines to countries that had already been identified by the Obama administration. If it turned out that a European had visited one of these countries, they would be then interviewed.
Interviewed but not banned, correct?
But not banned, and also the ban certainly wasn't universal to the citizens of these countries. It wasn't really about nationality. It was about travel to places where we knew there was instability and militant groups operated. And so here you have something completely different, which is a universal ban on nationals, essentially. It's hard not to notice citizens of some countries not on this list have attacked American soil, particularly Afghanistan, obviously, where we have...
Afghanistan's not on the list. And if you look at, you know, homegrown terrorism, the San Bernardino shootings in 2015, one of the shooters was from Pakistan. I mean, why do you think something so obvious is being seemingly ignored by the Trump White House?
We don't really know, but it's hard not to notice that there are countries like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt, where Trump certainly has done business that has been noted. That not necessarily is why he's doing it. And to be honest and frank, you can make an argument that he is more ideologically in line with the rulers of these countries. For example, it is clear that he, and I just returned from a visit to Egypt, and the Egyptian government is very high on Mr. Trump. They think that he's very responsive to them. He's in harmony with their view of what needs to be done, particularly on fighting Islamist militancy. The same could be said of the United Arab Emirates. Even separate from the business that Mr. Trump and his companies have done there.
Do you think Egypt and the UAE would be so up on Trump if he had put them on the list?
No, I don't think so at all. And I think that they're also worried about the ban, even if they're not included in it. People are worried that some of those bans may be interpreted as anti-Islamic, and public opinion may work against them getting closer to Mr. Trump. Ideologically, they think that they can do business with Mr. Trump. That goes also for the King of Jordan, who knows him well, who has interacted with him multiple times in the past, who also sees eye to eyes with him on confronting Islamic militancy and coordinating on the fight for ISIS. So, and by the way, in the case of Egypt, the Egyptians even agree with him on the need to work with Putin, the president of Russia, in Syria to fight ISIS. So there is some ideological overlap, and you can make an argument that Mr. Trump, even aside from doing business with them historically, that he knows the rulers, you're comfortable with them, they share a strategic vision, he sees them as an asset for the war on ISIS, which, by the way, everyone in the U.S. ranks as the number one priority.
Yeah, you conducted a poll on this, right?
Multiple polls, and all showed, that Americans rank the war on ISIS as the top priority for American foreign policy, even over immigration and trade, which even explains why the public is open, according to my poll, to working with Putin to fight ISIS. And on that, Mr. Trump is right, despite the fact the public doesn't trust Putin or like him.
Have you also done any polls that kind of draw U.S. attitudes toward this ban? Like the U.S. feels, according to your poll, that ISIS, the battle against ISIS, is priority number one. Is the ban the way to partly to deal with this?
Well, what we have done, obviously, before the election, last spring I did one on how open Americans are to accepting refugees from conflicts in the Middle East, including Iraq and Syria. And what we found is a majority supported accepting even more refugees from these countries.
Shibli Talhami at the University of Maryland, good to speak with you again. Thank you.
My pleasure.